and a supplication on Wednesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who appointed the night to be a garment, and sleep for a rest, and day he appointed for a rising. To thee belongs praise, for thou roused me from my sleep. And hadst thou willed, thou wouldst have made it everlasting, an everlasting praise that will never be cut off, and whose number the creatures will never count. O Allah, to thee belongs praise, for thou created, then proportioned, and ordained, and decreed, and gave death, and bestowed life, and made sick, and healed, and made well, and afflicted, and sat upon the throne, and encompassed the kingdom. I supplicate thee with the supplication of one whose mediation is weak, whose stratagems have been cut off, whose term has drawn near, whose expectation from this world has shrunk, whose neediness for thy mercy has intensified, whose remorse for his neglect has become great, whose slips and stumbles have become many, and whose repentance is devoted sincerely to thy face. So bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and his household, the good, the pure, and provide me with the intercessions of Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, and deprive me not of his companionship. Surely thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, decree for me on Wednesday four things. Induce me to be strong in obedience to thee, to be joyful in worshipping thee, to be desirous of thy reward, and to abstain from that which would make incumbent upon me thy painful punishment. Thou art gentle to whom thou wilt.
IRIB English Radio in the month of Muharram presents today's special. Every day for 15 minutes. In the name of Allah, the Almighty. Dear friends, Salamun Alaikum, so welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Peace and salutations of Allah be upon all of you. Today, in this episode, we're going to speak about Imam al-Hussein, the Ark of Salvation. Accept our condolences on the month of Muharram. Inshallah, all of your deeds and gatherings for Imam Hussein has been accepted by Allah the Almighty.
Allahumma ja'al mahyaya mahya Muhammadin wa al Muhammad wa mamati mamata Muhammadin wa al Muhammad.
I swear to Allah, until my last breath,
Today, Tuesday, is the 15th of Muharram, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 2nd of Shahrivar, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 24th of August, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's bless this moment of today's special by recitation of chapter Nu, verses 5 to 7.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Qala rabbi inni da'utu qawmi laylan wa nahara.
He said, My Lord, indeed I invited my people to truth night and day.
فَلَمْ يَزِدْهُمْ دُعَائِي إِلَّا فِرَارًا
But my invitation increased them not except in flight.
وَإِنِّي كُلَّمَا دَعَوْتُهُمْ لِتَغْفِرَ لَهُمْ جَعَلُوا أَصَابِعَهُمْ فِي آذَانِهِمْ جَعَلُوا أَصَابِعَهُمْ فِي آذَانِهِمْ وَاسْتَغْشَوْا ثِيَابَهُمْ وَأَصَرُّوا وَاسْتَكْبَرُوا اسْتِكْبَارًا
And indeed, every time I invited them, that you may forgive them, they put their fingers in their ears, covered themselves with their garments, persisted, and were arrogant with great arrogance.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Prophet Noah, peace be upon him, is quoted as saying that he called his people unto God Almighty and he spared no efforts in providing them with guidance, though his call was of no avail and added nothing but to their flight from truth. It is a source of surprise that calling towards something may entail flight from it. Nonetheless, taking into account the fact that enemies of truth upon hearing the calls of the men of God deny the truth, and such denial makes them further distance from Allah the Almighty. One question: why is Imam al-Hussein the guiding light and the salvation ship? Studying the lifestyle and lifestyle of Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him, at all times can be salvation and guidance for us. In fact, knowing the lifestyle of the Prophet is like a ship, and a ship that when we try to live like them and know the boundary between right and wrong, adhere to it, it is as if we have embarked on the salvation ship that we will be saved. So we will live in this world with pride. We will achieve true happiness and peace, and in the hereafter, we will achieve lasting happiness and real life. The most important point in the life of all the infallible Imams, including in the life of Imam al-Hussein, is the guidance and call for truth. This is the responsibility that has never been abandoned, and all of our Imams adhere to it and rested their lives on it. Those nobles themselves were on the right path, and their main concern was to save the people from superstition and falsehood.
It's very interesting to see that the Prophet, you know, described his own Ahlul Bayt by looking at a very important, example in the history of revealed religions. There are some miracles in the history of religions which are very prominent, and one of them is this whole issue of the story of the flood during the days of Nuh alayhi salam. And the main part in that, you know, as in Mojiza, was the issue of this Safina and the ark that Nuh alayhi salam built. You know, we have all this dispute among Muslims. 1400 years have passed. They still argue whether the Khilafat and Imamat and the event of Saqifah was right or wrong. You know, one way of looking at it, don't look at what happened after the wafat of Rasulullah. Go to Karbala. Look at the story of Karbala. Start as a beginning point from the tragedy of Karbala, and you will be guided to where is right and where is wrong. And this is where you have to realize that Hussein indeed is a safina, holder of a safina, which is very wide and very fast. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us always on the followers of the safina of Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salatu wa salam.
On the month of Muharram and the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his family and companions, be with today's special. Every day from IRIB English Radio.
People rise up and mourn, it is Ashura. See the struggle of Hussein in the Kabbalah.
And now another effects of the movement of Imam al-Hussein, an uprising only for the sake of Allah the Almighty. Obviously, the most important and ultimate effect of Imam al-Hussein's uprising, whether socially or individually, is only to act for the sake of Allah the Almighty. Imam Hussein sacrificed all he had for Allah. He did not even consider victory at the battlefield as a condition to rise up against the oppressive government. He told his companions and family on the night before the battle, the night of Ashura, that these people have animosity only for me. You can take advantage of the dark and leave. Know that whosoever stays here will be killed tomorrow. Furthermore, in the hardest condition of the day of Ashura, Imam Hussein said, "This is easy for me because Allah is watching me."
Assalamu alaykum, ya Abu Abdullah. وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد من زيارتك السلام على الحسين. وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين الذين بذلوا مهجهم دون الحسين عليه السلام.
حسين the righteous refused to bow to worldliness and power. We have brought the story down to the 60th year of Hijrah. Yazid assumed the power at Damascus. He cared nothing for the most sacred ideals of the people. The throne at Damascus had become a worldly throne. The decay of morals spread among the people. There was one man who could stem the tide. There was Imam al-Hussein. But his blameless life was in itself a reproach to those who had other standards. They sought to silence him, but he could not be silenced. They sought to bribe him, but he could not be bribed. They sought to waylay him and get him into their power. The holy man was prepared to die rather than surrender the principle for which he stood. Peace and salutations of Allah be upon Imam al-Hussein and his true companions.
Wahab al-Kalbi was a Christian man who joined the camp of Imam al-Hussein on day 6 in the month of Muharram. In other words, he only lived with Imam al-Hussein for 4 days. He only prayed 4 days. He didn't fast a day of the month of Ramadan, although he did fast from drinking and eating in solidarity with Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. No lifetime of servitude, no hajj, no khums, no zakat, none of those things. And yet he reached a level where he is buried next to the feet of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. And he reached the stage where you and I go and visit him and stand by his grave and say, Bi Abi Antum wa Ummi, Ya Ansara Abi Abdullah, may my parents be ransomed for you, O Wahab al-Kalbi. As the ark of salvation. He can do that. He can save someone. And he can take them to a level where not only do we visit them, not only are they buried next to the shrine of Hussein, but they are the first to be resurrected when the 12th Imam reappears to avenge the blood of Abu Abdullah. They're the first people to join the Imam.
اللهم اجعل محياي محيا محمد وآل محمد ومماتي ممات محمد وآل محمد.
Dear brothers and sisters, thank you very much for joining us. That was all from today's special from IRIB English Radio. We leave you in protection of Allah, the Almighty. Wassalamu alaikum.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and let us contemplate what the Chief of Martyrs, Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, has taught us when he stood steadfast against threats to his life by the forces of injustice and oppression. While disclosing to the Muslims the characteristics of the Umayyad rule and analyzing the political and administrative situation from Islam's point of view. O people, the Prophet of Allah had said, whoever witnesses an unjust ruler making permissible the things prohibited by Allah, breaking the covenant with Allah, violating the practices of the Prophet, treating people sinfully and cruelly, and despite seeing all such misdeeds, did not oppose him through words or actions, Allah surely will punish him as he wills.
Join us in this journey, IRIB English Radio.
please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EM.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. In one of our previous episodes, we spoke about the soil or the turba of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, and we spoke that, you know, obviously there are certain grades and a gradation regarding that particular soil. And also we know that, you know, certain places, you know, because of the sanctity of their place, because of a certain event that occurred in the place, of a certain structure that is at that place, for example, you know, Mecca and the Holy Kaaba, and the sanctity of the soil of that particular place, all of this, you know, has an impact, has an effect. But obviously sometimes, you know, we do not see the effects because, you know, we are not worthy of it. Not because the soil doesn't have the ability, it is that we do not have the capacity to accept that ability. This is something for us to take into consideration. For in order for something to take effect, there must be the capacity of that effect in the thing that wishes for that, or the thing that wants to accept that effect. So when we read this tradition, or these traditions that speak about the turba and the cure of the turba, this is something to keep in mind, is that are we as individuals really worthy of it? This is something to consider. So in this tradition, what is important that I want to focus on is the distance and the blessings of that soil that is not only there of the grave, but to a distance away from the grave itself. And even that soil has worth, even that soil has value. So Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is reported to have said that the clay or the soil or the turba of the grave of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam is a cure, even if the clay is collected from the distance of 1 mile away from the grave of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. So we see that the Imam is saying here that, you know, it is not necessary for you to go directly above, you know, the grave, or directly around the grave. No, that event caused such, you know, an effect that the soil, and rather the essence and the being of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam in that particular place, created this effect that the surrounding area also benefited. and it is not something far-fetched, that the essence and the light of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam is so bright. Obviously all the Imams are so bright, but because of, you know, the added emphasis that the Imams themselves put on Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, you know, we see that this effect that Imam had across and around him was to a great distance, that, and also, as the tradition says, 1 mile away from the actual grave and shrine, the soil that is collected from there is just as worthy and beneficial. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
فدعوتك ربي بقرآن جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانا يا من ينجينا إحسانا. ودعوتك ربي بقرآن.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host, Mahdi, and our honorable guest, dear brother Muhammad Reza, is here with us in the studio. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi, and Assalamu alaikum to all of the dear listeners of this program.
Thank you for accepting our invitation, brother.
Thank you.
Well, dear audience, as you may know, this program, Let's Recite the Quran, consists of several Quranic parts. In the first part, we are going to talk about a famous reciter of the Holy Quran. After that, we are going to listen to a recitation of that famous Qari, and then Brother Muhammad is going to analyze that recitation. Beside these parts, we are going to listen to some other interesting Quranic parts. So stay tuned. Today we are going to listen to a recitation by Sheikh Yasser Sharqawi. Yasser Sharqawi is an emerging young Egyptian reciter who is now nicknamed the newest Qari of Egyptian Quran Radio. He hates reputation and hopes that people will love him for the Quran and recitation of this divine book. He was born in a house where its inhabitants recited the noble Quran around the clock, and the father of the family was a teacher and master of Quran recitation. He became famous at a very young age. Sheikh Yasser Sharqawi is the follower of Sheikh Mustafa Ismail's style. Now it's time to listen to Sheikh Yasser Sharqawi reciting Surah to Ibrahim, verses 27 to 29.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يثبت الله الذين آمنوا بالقول ثابت في الحياة الدنيا
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And what you just listened to was recitation of Sheikh Yasir Sharqawi reciting Surah to Ibrahim, verses 27 to 29. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this recitation.
Yes, sure. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Sheikh Yasir Sharqawi, like you said, is the follower of the style of Sheikh Mustafa Ismail. And he is very precise in following the style of Sheikh Mustafa Ismail and imitating his way of using maqamat and other aspects of recitation. And he's the most successful reciter right now who uses the style of Sheikh Mustafa Ismail. He has a very good voice. He has qarar, jawab, and jawabul jawab. The low register, the middle register, and the high register. This is the beginning of his recitation. Okay, it's good that we are listening to this recitation because it's the very beginning of a recitation.
Mm-hmm.
And usually when you want to begin a recitation, you have to consider certain things. The first thing that you have to consider is in which register you should begin your recitation. For example, if you say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, this is a low register. Okay, so
yes,
it's easier to move up to the higher registers. But if you say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم, you can't really move up to very high registers.
Because you begin actually
with
a high register.
So you have to be careful in what tone and what pitch you're reciting at the beginning of your recitation. And all reciters, they're very careful when it comes to this.
You mean that it's a rule to begin with a lower register and then raise your voice?
It's not a rule. Actually, it depends on your own voice. If you have the capability to begin with a higher register, that's okay. For example, a reciter such as Hassan, they start the recitation with a relatively high register. But if your voice has a very good low register, it's recommended that you begin with the lowest pitch of your voice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's talk about some of the rules of tajweed in this recitation.
Good idea.
بالقول الثابت. The tha was pronounced with like a Rahawa, letter of Rahawa, with the necessary timing. Okay? By timing, we mean that you should hold that letter for some time. You should spend some time pronouncing that letter.
That letter, yes.
You should not quickly pass, especially for letters of Rahawa, which have the longest timing.
Yeah. But you know that for letters of Shitta or plosives, you cannot actually spend
too much time.
Yeah, too much time.
Compared to them. Letters of Rahawa. That's right. Ad-dunya. Now here we see that the dal is a letter of Shidda. You can't spend too much time on the dal. Ad-dunya. Ad-dunya. If you say ad, see, you can't hold it. It's just, it's a natural characteristic of dal.
Actually, the letter is pronounced when you remove the obstacle.
Yes, that's right. Because, you know, you have to make a complete obstruction in the place of articulation of dal, in the airflow. Ad-dunya, the noon is pronounced with ilhar, despite the fact that there is the letter ya after the noon.
One of Yarmalun letters.
Yes, it's a letter of Yarmalun, but because it's in a word.
Yeah, that's
because the point. It's in a word, there is no ilhar. There is no idgham. There is ilhar.
Actually, it occurs within a word, not within a phrase.
That's right. Idgham only takes place within a phrase. Mm-hmm. We could just say that.
Mm-hmm.
Akhira, the kha is pronounced with the lowest level of
tafkhim.
This is important. Akhira, if you say akhira, khira, that's incorrect. Yudillullah, the dad is pronounced with the lowest level of tafkhim because it has a kasra, just like the kha in akhira. Yudillullahulalimin, we have the issue of timing once again. The lam of Allah is a letter of tawassut, so you have to pronounce it with a timing which is in between rakhawa and shiddah.
You mean weak fricative and plosives?
Yes. So you have to say yudillullahu walimun. The wad, you have to hold it longer than the lam of Allah.
And another characteristic of lam of Allah is that it is pronounced with taghlil.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio, for staying with us. You're still listening to the program, Let's Recite the Quran. Don't go away.
IRIB English Radio presents
Let's Recite the Quran.
Recitation.
Tajweed points.
Reciter's biography.
Quranic books.
Maqamat.
Translation.
Alhan.
Short lecture.
All
in Let's Recite the Quran.
The audience, now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sheikh Salim Binji. He's going to talk about prophetic pieces of advice on the recitation of the Holy Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We come across a beautiful tradition that we want to share today, which has been reported to be from the Messenger of Allah, the Prophet Muhammad, may God's peace and blessings be upon him and his family. And in the tradition, he shares with us a few important points to keep in mind. In these times where we live in spiritual darkness, where there are deviations and corruptions plaguing the world, the Prophet has given us the antidote, the key, the special elixir to how to deal and cope with the problems that we see in modern society in today's day and age. And the Blessed Prophet says the following to us: whenever the waves of calamities encompass you like the dark night, seek refuge with the Quran, for it is an intercessor whose intercession will be accepted. One who takes it as a guide, Allah will lead that person into heaven, and whoever disregards it or goes against it, he will be led into the hellfire. The Blessed Prophet of Islam shares with us a few points for all of us to ponder and reflect upon. The first is where he tells us that whenever calamities encompass us, whenever tribulations and tragedies and confusion come upon us, just like the dark night comes upon us every night when the sun sets, he says, seek refuge with the Quran. Go to the Quran and seek guidance and light and inspiration from the words of Allah, because it is the intercessor whose intercession will definitely be accepted. Now, we live in a 21st century era with much progress in terms of science and technology and means of communication and means of transportation and the modes of travel in this world. But yet we see that there are so many problems plaguing the world. There are so many challenges that each and every country in the world, without exception, are facing one way or the other, whether we know about it and whether it's covered in the media or it is covered under the guise of many other events happening around the world. Whatever the case may be, we see that calamities are plaguing us as humanity around the world. And the Prophet shows us that the only key to salvation is to return back to the Quran, to return back to the teachings of Allah, and to seek inspiration and guidance, and ask the Quran to step in and intervene and help us in our times of challenge and difficulty. The Prophet tells us at the end of the tradition that Allah will lead that person into heaven who takes the Quran as his guide. Meaning that we need to follow the Quran, not that we expect the Quran to follow our own whims and dictates and desires, but rather that we take a cue and follow behind the teachings of the Quran if we want to go to heaven and if we want to lead a fruitful life in this world. And also he says that whoever disregards it, whoever ignores, whoever turns away from the Quran, that they will be led into the fire of hell. Not only the hellfire, which is for perpetuity, for eternity, but also that we will lead a life of difficulty, of trouble, of turmoil in the life of this world. And so the Quran, if we ask it to help us, if we ask it to guide us, it will lead us to the path of salvation, the path of felicity, the path of success. And God forbid, if we were to throw the Quran behind our backs and ignore it, then we would have lost out on the benefits of this world and the world to come. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
كتاب الله
كتاب الله
كتاب الله.
Dear audience, that was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Until next program, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Goodbye.
The ocean of dua.
Al Imam Al Hussein alayhi salam. Ziyaratan minni wa niyabatan an walidain.
Why did you leave us to fend for ourselves?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, and in this edition of The Ocean of Dua, we are trying to discuss and talk about the different aspects of Ziyarat Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, Ziyarat al-Ashura. So stay with us.
دفعتكم عن مقامكم وأزالتكم عن مراتبكم التي رتبكم الله فيها.
In the previous program, dear listeners, we started talking about the important consequences of laying the foundation of wrongdoing and injustice against the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. فَلَعْنَ اللَّهُمَّةً أَسَّسَتْ أَسَاسَ الظُّلْمِ وَالْجَوْرِ عَلَيْكُمْ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ. Why do these oppressors deserve to be cursed by the Almighty Allah, deserve to be away from His mercy? One aspect of that it can be seen throughout the different traditions of the Ahlul Bayt about the effects and the consequences of starting this oppression against the Ahlul Bayt. The first consequence that we started talking about was facilitating deviation in Islamic beliefs among Muslim Ummah, the deviation in wilayah and guardianship, for example. Imam Abu Ja'far al-Baqir alayhi salam is reported to have said, فوالله لو أن رجلا عبد الله عمره ما بين الركن والمقام ثم مات ولم يجئ بولايتنا لأكبه الله في النار على وجهه. I swear by Allah, if a man were to worship Allah throughout his life between al-rukn and al-maqam and thereafter die but not come with our wilaya and guardianship, which imam means the accepting of that fact, Allah would throw him down on his face into the fire of hell. This very Imam is also reported to have said, indeed, the garden of heaven craves for the arrival of the progeny of Muhammad, peace be upon them, and their followers, and its light intensifies on their arrival. And if a slave of Allah were to worship Allah without our love and our guardianship between Rukwa and Maqam, until such an extent that his joints are severed, Allah would not accept that from him. And this deviation of not accepting the guardianship of the true Imams, this is what led to the people standing in the face of their Imam and what happened in the events of Karbala.
People ask, I'm confused about which school is right or which madhab is right. Go to Karbala. Look at Karbala, it clarifies it instantaneously. Anybody says, I'm confused, say, please go to Karbala and tell me what happened, why it happened, and what does it have to do with your religion. You will see it completely exemplifies. It clarifies, it takes all the blurs out instantaneously. SubhanAllah, that's the miracle of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hussein alayhi salam's main foundation of morality is do not allow tyranny, do not allow evil doing, do not allow indecency. Why is Imam like this? Because he knows Allah, he appreciates Him, he understands His dimensions. That's why we must love them so much. We must love them so much that don't let anybody else take us away from them. There should be no room in our thoughts, no matter who we admire in this world, no matter how great a person we look at, never move the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt out of the center of the heart. Never. They will know that their Khalifa lied to them because he told them they don't pray. And if they see them praying on the battlefield, their hearts will change. So stop them from praying. Imagine how evil these people were. That's how much lies they had. And you cannot eradicate this lie at the level that we are talking about unless you give your blood for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Imam Abu Hassan al-Ridha alayhi salam is reported to have said, "Inna al-imamata usul Islam." Indeed, imama and divine leadership is the base of the religion of Islam. Bil imami tamamu salati wa zakati wa siyami wal hajj wal jihad. Through imam is achieved the completeness of prayer, zakat, fasting, hajj and jihad. And it was because of the disregarding of the fundamental belief of imama that the rest of the roots of religion, like tawheed, adl, ma'ad, etc., were misunderstood. Misleading ideas such as determinism and anthropomorphism, literalism, etc., crept into the Muslim nation. This was the start of that deviation. The Shia of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, however, remaining steadfast to the rope of imama, never deviated from the path of salvation and maintained the correct principles and branches of faith. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had guaranteed them by saying, "Ma in tamassaktum bihima lan tadhillu abada." As long as you hold fast onto them both, that is, the Holy Quran and my infallible household, you shall never go astray. And although you may have achieved the greatness of this impact and the importance of the fundamental consequence of laying this foundation, this was only one of the consequences. But yet the most important one, since belief is the most important pillar elevating the man, and this is what renders his actions validated. This is what validates his deeds and actions. In the next program, we'll try to discuss another consequence of laying the foundation of oppression against the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
الذي صنعت من الرمح منبرا ظمآن والزمان بعينيك ممطرا نعم الأمير أنت حسين وقدوتي ساروا إليك قلبي وعقلي ودمعتي يا محيي الكرامة تبكيك كل عام لبيك يا إمامي لبيك يا حسين
بالروح بالدم لبيك يا حسين لبيك يا حسين بالروح بالدم لبيك يا حسين
This is IRIB English Radio. please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EM.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran, for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, dear listeners. This is your host, Musa al-Bahadili, and you're listening to IRIB English Radio and to the program Islamic Upbringing, where we discuss problems, questions, and just issues that parents have regarding raising their children in an Islamic way. We stress, as always, that the answers are based upon the Holy Quran and the narrations of the Prophet and the household of the Prophet, peace be upon them all. Joining us today in our studio is our guest speaker and dear friend Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi, who is an Islamic researcher at the Seminary of Qum. Dear Sayyid, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us, dear Sayyid. Our overall topic for these last two programs is communication and how vital it is to raising a child. Today's topic is, of course, related to this communication, and it is being vague, or just vagueness, when instructing maybe, or just when speaking to children and ordering them to do this and don't do that without providing a reason or an